Once upon a time, an eagle lost her egg. It fell out of the nest and landed in a barnyard where the turkeys lived. And a mama turkey thought it was her egg, and so she put it in her nest and sat upon it. The egg hatched. She named the little eaglet JJ. And JJ grew up with all the other turkeys. He learned how to do all the things turkeys do. He learned how to scratch and look for worms and tried to gobble gobble. He wasn't really good at that. And as he was growing up, after many years, he looked up into the sky and he saw there on the wind a beautiful sight. And JJ said, "Well, what is that?" And one of the elder turkeys said, "Well, don't you know? That's an eagle. The most magnificent of birds." JJ's heart leapt because he just imagined what that would be like. But he didn't know he was an eagle. So he just went scratching more in the barnyard and ate more worms, grew old, and died. The end. It's a very sad story, I know. But there is a moral to the story. The moral is, you can't soar like an eagle if you think you're a turkey. Again and again in the scriptures, we hear this message, as we heard today. You know, stay awake, be alert, wake up, be prepared, keep your eyes and ears open. What the Bible wants us to understand is that we're missing what's going on. We don't know who we really are. We don't know how close God is to us. And so we scratch away at life in our barnyard, going to work and school, and we're missing God's graces and wonders that he wishes to bestow upon us. God wants to bless us. God wants us to be filled with joy and hope. And so we have to stay awake, be alert, come to know. How do we do it? How do we do it? Well, let's think about some of those who have been awake. Your own heroes, maybe some people you can think in your mind who are spiritually awake. Dr. King, Mother Teresa, Pope John the 23rd, whoever it is, whoever your heroes are. And what are the characteristics that they all kind of shared? The thing that strikes me about them, about the spiritually awake, first of all, is that they live in God's world. Now, if I was making the world, I would make a world where everything came out okay and everything was nice and there wasn't any trouble and pain and difficulty. That would be the world I would make. But that is not the world God made. And the spiritually awake don't pine after some ideal world which is out there, but instead live in this world, the world that is, and say, how do I live fully in this reality? And they do it by saying, I'm going to always and only do God's will. Whatever God's will is, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do God's will as near as I can tell. And because they are willing to live in this world and do God's will as it comes to them, then they have confidence that all will be well. Yes, things are a mess. Yes, we've got earthquakes and tornadoes and volcanoes and hurricanes and shootings and all the rest of it. But because this is God's world, we have a lot of confidence that in the end, all will be well. I always think that the great prophet Louis Armstrong has to be taken to heart. When I think to myself, it's a wonderful world. That's what the awakened know. But what causes us to be drowsy? Why do we miss it? What's going on in our own lives? And trying to understand that, I was struck by the story Jesus tells today about the 10 virgins with their lamps. And the way the story goes, as Jesus told it, is that five of them missed the party because they were out shopping, right? That's what it says. And they were out shopping because they thought they had to have some oil. I'm not going to be ready unless I have the oil. I'm not going to be able to go unless I have the oil. But I just wonder, I just have to wonder, is that what the bridegroom wanted, or is that what they wanted? I have a suspicion that if they had stayed around and the bridegroom came and they said, "We don't have any oil," I bet the bridegroom would have said, "That's okay. Come on in." I think that a lot of the times in our life, what's going on is that we imagine we have to have something in order to be fulfilled, in order to be happy, in order to be content. And so we impose this desire that we have on ourselves. You know, oh, I've got to have this person in my life. I've got to have my family not act crazy. I've got to be healthy. I've got to have an iPhone 10, whatever it is. And so because we have these things that we think we have to have, we are waiting for them, and when they don't come, we feel incomplete. We have to go out and do something to fill ourselves up. But I believe that what Jesus wants us to understand, what we're being called to when we're told to stay awake, is that we don't need anything else than what we already have. We already have enough to be happy for all eternity. And I wonder if that's not what Jesus meant when he told us the story. Remember he said, unless you become like little children. Remember that story? Unless you become like little children. I think what he meant was, you know, little children have all their requests. They have all the things they ask for. You know, Christmas coming up, they have all these things they ask for. But they're usually pretty content with what they got. If they don't get an Xbox, they play with a cardboard box. And are happy doing so. And I think that's the lesson that we're supposed to get, that we need to realize that already we're blessed beyond belief. So the Bible, I think, teaches us how to wake up. How to wake up. I'm reminded of the story of Pookie's mother banging on his door. "Pookie, Pookie, you've got to wake up. It's time for school." And Pookie answers, "I don't want to go to school. I don't want to wake up." His mother says, "You've got to wake up, Pookie." He says, "I'll give you three reasons why I don't have to wake up, why I don't want to go to school. Number one, school is boring. Number two, all the kids hate me. Number three, I hate school." And Pookie's mother said, "Well, I'm going to give you three reasons why you have to go to school. Number one, because you're supposed to. Number two, because I'm your mother and I tell you to. And number three, because you're the principal and you've got to unlock the door." So how do we wake up? I think the invitation that we have to do is look at this Word of God, look at the Bible, and again and again and again, there's all these little... what? Spiritual no-dos, spiritual 5-hour energy, spiritual caffeine that's going to help us to wake up. And just a couple that I picked out today, the Old Testament lesson. Be free of all care, the Book of Wisdom says. Wow, that would be good. That would help me to wake up, because if I was free of all care, I wouldn't have to worry about all this stuff. I could give it all to God. And then I can be awake to God's goodness and God's life. Okay, that's a good thing. St. Paul says today, he says, console one another with the message that we're going to be with the Lord. Well, that would wake me up, because no matter what's going on, no matter what grief I'm having, no matter what loss I'm feeling, I know that I can be consoled. And the gospel today, when the parable says, go out to meet him. That would wake me up if I went out in my own time of prayer and found that sacred place and met the Lord there. Then I would discover that God isn't just in this place, but God is in every place. So that's our word today. That's our word. I think we have to go into the scripture, find all these things which are going to help us to become alert, to wake up, to be prepared, to see that in order to have God, in order to be filled with life, in order to be filled with joy, all we need to do is open our eyes. Amen.